And so we had an offer from a company that was opening a store in Tulsa called Rayco, Sea Cover Company. They said, if I come down here for the summer, then next year I could go to California. They're going to open up stores there and so forth. And you can always go back to law school. As I think about it, I probably would have made a terrible lawyer. I always see the other person's side. I put on the other person's shoes. I don't think that's the best trait for a lawyer to have. Better for a social worker or a psychologist. So anyway, I didn't go, and I came to Tulsa that summer.
What was your job to be with Rayco?
To train the people in Tulsa who Rayco in New Jersey decided were ignorant, and a young kid out of college could train them. That's what I came here to do, to open up the store and to hire people to work in the shop. We made seat covers, we made convertible tops. We were trying to put Otasco out of the seat cover business, which we finally did.
Where was that located, Rayco?
Then they put me out of business. Rayco was on 3815 East 11th Street between Harvard and Yale. Midas Muffler came in later next to us. It's that little section there. I think the doctor is here now.
You were the manager then of this store?
Yeah.
Is there somewhere in the line here that you met a young lady in Tulsa?
Yes, and that's what kept me from California. That winter, first off, I couldn't find any Jewish girls. I only dated Jewish girls in New Jersey. And when I got here, it was summertime, and all the Jewish girls were off to camp or wherever they go in the summertime. I couldn't find anybody. I knew Jerry's brother, my wife's older brother. We were friends. We together went to the Jewish Federation then. Used to be on 51st Street.
Harvard.
Yeah, by the restaurant.
Villa Venice.
Villa Venice. I can remember going up there. There were no computers in those days and no lists. I said, I would like the list of all the single Jewish girls in Tulsa. They had heard a guy moved down here from Jersey and didn't know much about me. So I had explained, what did you want it for? I said, I want to start a youth organization. Alan's sister was in that youth organization. I said, I'm looking up and remembering. Martha Strauss. Anyway, they gave me a list of all the single girls in that age group. Stanley Prusak, who's Jerry's brother, and I called them all up and had our first meeting. It was wonderful. We got to meet girls, and the girls got to meet guys. Nancy Stolper was a member of our group. Edith Peru's brother was a member of that group. We met a few times. I don't remember exactly what we did. Because by that time, Stanley had taken me home to have Shabbos dinner or whatever at Jerry's home. And her mother was a great, great cook. Through Stanley, I met Jerry. This young girl, her last year in high school, and I just fell in love. Then I had to dismiss the group. I told him why, because I met you.
So that was your first group organization, organizing. You've done many in your life, but that was your first one.
That's right.
But was it really for the group, or was it really for you?
Everything I've done has been for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hillel said it. Didn't Hillel say that?
Yes, if I'm not for myself. Very good.
Who am I for? And if I'm only for myself, then who? You know.
How long did you date Jerry before you were married?
6 months, she says. 6 months. The first date we had, but I brought another guy along just for safety, was to the Globetrotters. They come each year at that same time in February. They lost the game, I recall.
Let's talk a little bit about Tulsa as you saw it. You came from New York, New Jersey. You must have had some culture shock when you came to Tulsa.
Yeah. Most of us, I guess, have had culture shock. Yeah, coming from New Jersey was culture shock.
You saw segregation at that time like you'd never seen it before.
That's right. That's right. Everything was segregated when I came here in 53, as I remember it. The movies were segregated. The buses were still segregated. East 11th Street, where my store was Route 66, before I-44, that was the highway in Oklahoma. And all the cars came through there. They had restaurants, drive-ins. I remember driving by the Will Rogers Theater before you get to Yale there. You couldn't come in there. I hired a foreman who was black. I didn't know anything about all this stuff. In New Jersey, I assure you, I didn't know anything about it. I had to select a new crew, and then I had to select for them a foreman. So I don't know. I was maybe 2 or 3 weeks there, and I picked a foreman who happened to be black. He was the best worker I had. He ended up being a minister in Tulsa. I took him to just a drive-in restaurant joint. He said, "You're not going to get served." And I waited and waited and we waited. And he said, "You're not going to get served. They will serve me." Never got served. And finally, I found out why, because I had a black friend in the car and they weren't going to serve me. That was Saturday night or Sunday, because we were open 7 days a week. But I paid them, paid by the week. And on Monday morning, none of those white guys showed up to work. They all quit. They weren't going to work for a black supervisor. I also noticed when people would wait in that store, some of you may have been in that store, there's a waiting room, a sales room, and then there's a shop. We take the car into the shop, they put the seat covers on or whatever they did, and drive it out. And I noticed, this is later, I did hire white kids. When the white kid would drive out and park the car, they'd walk out, see the seat covers, everything fine or not fine, and they would come in and pay. If a black guy drove that car out of the shop, they would come down to see the seat covers, open up the cowl, we used to call it the cowl, the glove compartment, make sure everything was there, and the way stole from that was just a bias that was just built in this part of the country. It was very, very, very hard to deal with as a young, idealistic Easterner.
But the segregation we're talking about and the prejudice was mostly toward blacks. Did you feel or see any of this toward Jews in Tulsa?
Yes, still there. Everybody knows about Southern Hills Country Club, so it's not a secret that the whole area of Southern Hills, the neighborhood, was to keep Jews out. Jews and dogs were not really wanted in that area. And Southern Hills Country Club didn't allow Jews to be members, simple as that. So the Jewish people here, before I came, built their own country club. And that's where Meadowbrook Country Club came from. They earned money. They became businessmen. They wanted to live the life that they saw their compatriots living. So they had to build their own place. And that was terrible to see.